This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. We just learned a few novel tricks for starting conversations. Let's turn now to discussions conducted without making a sound, using sign language, where eye contact is key. This story comes to us from Roman Mars and 99% Invisible.
Do you mind if I talk to you while we walk?
If you've ever seen an episode of the TV show The West Wing, you probably know one of its trademark scenes. The walk and talk.
You're going to this meeting?
Yeah.
WW160, you've been able to find it?
I don't even know where I am right now.
I'm looking on this side again.
Do you mind if I talk to you while we walk?
But after you watch a few episodes, you might notice something. The characters almost never look at each other. They mostly look straight ahead. And there's a good reason for this. When people walk and talk, they don't need to look at each other. We use our eyes to navigate. We use our ears to listen.
But that doesn't work if you're deaf.
That's our reporter today, Tom Dreisbach. He went to Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C. to talk to a researcher named Robert Servage.
Gallaudet is the only university in the world designed entirely for the deaf and hard of hearing. Robert is deaf himself, and he's been looking into this question of how deaf people walk and sign.
Robert Servage put cameras on the heads of different pairs of people, both hearing and deaf.
And he did this so he could precisely monitor what people look at when they walk and talk versus when they walk and sign. And he found very clear differences.
This is the voice of a Gallaudet translator speaking for Robert.
To hearing people look straight ahead the whole time they were walking, you might see just a few seconds, very rare seconds, when the person would look at the other person who they were walking beside and speaking. They wouldn't ever make eye contact. One would look at the other. While as with deaf people, there was that continuous maintained eye contact.
But maintaining eye contact also means you can't pay full attention to any obstacles up ahead.
And that's a problem if you're walking.
For walking and signing to work, the people holding a conversation need to keep an eye out for obstacles.
But it's not like deaf people make a deal at the beginning of a conversation. You talk, I'll be the lookout.
When deaf people are looking at one another, there's an agreement, an internal agreement, unspoken agreement that's understood between the two people conversing.
It's almost like the people, when you're in a conversation, you're in a kind of dance where you're not discussing what's happening between each other, but you just sort of know what the next move should be.
That's exactly it.
But when they're designing buildings, most hearing architects are not thinking about providing a venue for this dance.
That's actually also true of many buildings at Gallaudet University, even though it's dedicated to teaching the deaf and hard of hearing. But several years ago, the university realized that some of its standards of architecture and innovation had slipped.
So Gallaudet asked architect Hansel Baumann to help lead a group project called Deaf Space to collect ideas and rethink campus design with deaf people in mind.
The campus took those ideas and poured them into the design of a new building called the Sorensen Language and Communication Center, but everyone calls it the SLCC.
There are some obvious things like adding automatic sliding doors so conversations don't grind to a halt at every threshold.
And then there are more subtle changes. One of the big ideas behind Deaf Space is avoiding eye strain. That's because when you communicate all day with your eyes, it's easy to get tired.
So if you have bad lighting conditions, for example, which is backlighting, glare, high contrast between dark spaces and light spaces, all of those annoyances in and of themselves may not be so bad, but taken together over the time of a day, it's the beginning of eye strain. And eye strain really wears people out, basically.
And when we walked by a classroom, Hansel pointed inside at the color scheme.
The color of the blue classroom, that's a color we've been experimenting with, is a good contrast to a range of skin tones. You can just so clearly see sign language in there.
And for Hansel, working on Deaf Space has meant becoming sensitive to a range of issues that he had never thought of before.
The window that the deaf experience offers to architects is to provide us with a new kind of awareness around what's working and what's not working in a room that we might accept every day as just kind of our condition and we're not aware of it. It's not in front of us in a way that we can name what's the aggravation in the room or the environmental stressor. We don't have a way to recognize that, whereas I think it's part of everyday deaf experience.
That's Roman Mars, host and producer of the design and architecture podcast, 99% Invisible. In our digital universe, privacy settings are important, a little complicated, and frequently ignored. Up next, we're going to speak with a social media evangelist who has learned to stop worrying and love oversharing. First, the news from NHPR.